listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back, everyone. I missed you guys last week, but I'm back this week. Had some things to handle and information to find out, but I'm back with you this week to share some important details of a group that is called Moments That Survive. There was a woman by the name of Sonia Rogers. She had three boys, and I say had because these three boys were gunned down out of Newark, New Jersey. Sad to say, all three of her sons were taken from her due to gun violence, senseless crimes. You know, they happen all the time. And as you know, we handle most of gun violence and people that are missing and crimes that go unsolved, you know, victims, not victims, you know, the innocent, the perpetrators, everybody that has some type of loss of life in their presence and how it affects them. But this group, Moments That Survive, they actually have people come on their website and post their stories of losing their loved ones to senseless gun violence or at the hands of someone who should not have possessed a weapon in their hand. It's a very sad story. And more importantly, because I know Sonia Rogers through some mutual friends of mine. And it's a very sad story. You know, if you've ever loved anyone as much as she's loved her kids, as you know, any parent would love their kids. It would be very heartbreaking to know that you lost them to a senseless crime that could have probably been resolved via a conversation. But, you know, lack of communication today leads to these sad stories. Everyone believes that, you know, they're being, I hate to use that word of ignorance, but, you know, being ignorant to things that are happening in front of them and how they handle situations today. Very, very sad. But MomentsThatSurvive.org is an organization that will help you post your story, tell your side. Hopefully one of the investigators that would listen to the show, because there are many investigators that listen on. And hopefully they'll get some clarity as to which direction they should go in as far as helping someone who is a family member of a victim. And as we go into different stories, we will have, if they're up to it, family members come on the show and give their story of what transpired for that person that they posted on MomentsThatSurvive.org. And also, you know, if people want to reach out to someone, if you have information of someone possibly handling guns recklessly and they are not licensed, you know, you can always feel free to send me a message, and I promise you it will be handled in a timely manner, because it's getting worse and worse day by day. You know, I'm just looking at the news and seeing how many innocent people have lost their lives over this past weekend, July the 4th, when it's supposed to be a day for Americans and everyone else to celebrate the birth of America, you know, new things happening, you know, life, new lives coming into, you know, the world. But instead, it's a lot of senseless crimes that are going on today. And I'd like to thank all my listeners for coming on each and every Tuesday to have the movement of keeping open ears and eyes to certain things and bringing it to my attention. There has been some things brought to my attention over this past week, and that was a lot of, I would say, individuals, you know, the Instagram thugs posting, you know, weapons of mass destruction, you know, just reckless internet postings, which is not good for some people, especially if you have a criminal record already. It's not good to have reckless internet postings. So I'm hoping that you can smarten up and say to yourself, is it wise for me to post this on social media? I mean, I've been a part of many cases that have given a lot of people a lot of time for reckless internet postings. So when you think about posting things that are derogatory, a threat to life especially, you take it to another level. And that level is you will lose your freedom over reckless internet postings. Along with death threats and posting pictures of people and, you know, wanting to have their heads on your table and just reckless behavior that is not warranted, you know. And then on the other hand, when you don't know who you're posting about, that's another factor, you know, because people post things, you don't know if they're law enforcement, you don't know their job title, you don't know their arena of people that they are involved with as far as on the legal side, not on the illegal side. So that brings my eyes to open like a deer that's seen headlights, because it's very strange for someone to post reckless things about people that they don't know. And another important thing that I want to share with you is there's a lot of ghost guns running around, you know, everywhere, every state, every city. They're here. And one ghost gun supplier took me by surprise. He actually sells them right on the internet. You know, these little tiny piece kits. You order five or six different pieces. They ship it separately. And before you know it, you have a deadly weapon in your hand of a reckless internet poster online, or the reckless internet poster would have a community gun that they share within the community. And what people don't realize is when you share this gun in the community, if you get caught with it, you're going to eat everything that has happened with that weapon. So be very careful on accepting other people's properties. You're upset with someone, you're being bullied. There's other means to handle your anger versus I'm going to get a gun, a community gun. I'm going to kill this person because they were talking about me. It's very sad that ignorance plays a major part with the youth today of communication, where they can't have a communication open-ended line of, okay, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said this to you. Okay, I accept my responsibility. You have cowards today that pull the trigger. And I always say to certain inmates that I have had one-on-one conversations with, you know, once you pull the trigger, you can never come back from it. And they don't listen, and they go out and they create reckless internet postings. And before you know it, they have a situation, and then their freedom is at stake at that point. And then everybody wants to cut a deal. Now, let's talk about the deal theory. Okay. The deal theory is we need you I'm not going to say they, because we, as in me, we need you to tell us what you know about this person. And we're going for the big fish. We're not going for the little guy. We want the big fish. We want the supplier of the ghost guns. That's the only way we're going to let you, we, as in me, as in we, we're going to let you see daylight again on your own. So be very careful on cutting your deals and getting yourself into trouble and being grown before your time. There's a lot of kids, little boys, okay, because you can have sex, you can make a baby, doesn't make you grown mentally. So think before you act. Think before you threaten. Think before you pull the trigger. You're not only going to destroy your life, you're going to destroy many other lives. And then if you're not arrested, they're going to have a group of other people that are going to be seeking retaliation against you. And then at the end of the day, you're going to find yourself in a bad position. So I like to get that message across, because someone sent me a reckless internet posting of a woman, okay, and she's holding her son, who had to be about 12, 13 years old, and she has her trigger finger out. And her message was, "You come for him, you come for us all." Which I get, but a mother with that reckless internet posting should definitely have child family services in her life. She should definitely be questioned by the police just by making that finger attribute, because that is basically inciting a possible situation. And inciting a situation is a charge under federal law. Okay. And a lot of people don't know that. So this reckless internet posting stuff can put you in a very bad situation. And we'll go back to the moments that survived.org and their stories, and this one mother that lost her three sons. And I bring that story to your attention because that situation started over reckless internet postings. She lost three sons, three, the oldest, the middle, and the youngest, due to reckless internet postings. A simple fight, a simple argument that went to social media. And guess what? The killers were never found. The killers were never found. So you have a mother that lost her three sons and the killer was never found. Or there's another if, and we talked about cutting those deals. The killer may have cut in a deal that gave up a bigger fish. Well, so they thought that this person may have been a bigger fish. He cut the deal for a bigger fish and he got a pass, because he entertained reckless internet postings. So he had to drag someone else into his mess. So when people think about posting things on social media, you know, think about the longevity of it and what will it lead up to eventually? Because I'm finding out from a lot of messages that I've been getting is that these reckless internet postings, they actually can damage a person, even if it doesn't lead to death or something more harmful, you know, down the line. A lot of things can go wrong. You know, you have cyber bullies, and that's also against the law to be a cyber bully. You know, I'm here to not only educate you on what you shouldn't do, but I'm here to educate some of the parents of all the listeners that come on this line on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. to listen to the show. You know, maybe you can educate someone else and give them a sense of relief to talk things out instead of reckless internet postings. And I also wanted to go back to the ghost guns. Ghost guns are tearing your city apart. This goes for New York. This goes for New Jersey. This goes for Philadelphia. And for sure, it goes for Chicago because they have a heavy presence of ghost guns in Chicago. And also Philadelphia. Philadelphia is like a mini Chicago right now, except you have the, and I don't want to be derogatory by saying this, but you have a lot of the abandoned children that were seized by the DHS system that are running rampant in Philadelphia. No supervision. You have a lot of those babies that are running rampant and being terrorists in Philadelphia. And, you know, it's one thing about terrorism in other countries that come into America to have acts of terrorism. But when you have a system, the umbrella, the third party agency that harbors these terrorists and know that they're terrorists and know that they're out of control, you have them participating in the terrorism in Philadelphia. And it's gotten so far out of control because you have 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids committing acts of violence against others. So when people say, you know, how did this happen? It happened because of this umbrella system that is allowed to seize these children, program them into believing that they're in a better place. And I will say some kids do end up in a better place, but there are a lot of trouble kids in this umbrella that have now become terrorists. Even I've seen 17, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids turn terrorists from being under that umbrella system. So there's a lot to think about, people. When you listen to this show, I'm opening your minds up to something that you're not paying attention to, because these are not simple acts of violence. You're dealing with troubled teens that are disregarded by this system and this umbrella of a system that is set out to protect them. And they should also protect the public from them. But instead, they place them in these homes and then they don't go back to follow up. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to touch on the Elisiana Carter, Libby, the 13-year-old that was murdered in Philadelphia, 13-year-old that was shot in the mouth and sex trafficked. I'll tell you why they don't follow up. Because she was placed in a home. First of all, she was ripped from her home where she was alive, healthy, breathing, and still a virgin, to being stripped from her parents and thrown into a home where this parent, what they call them, the kinship or the support parents. She's put in this home while she's with her mom and dad. She has no cell phone. What does the kinship parent do? Here, you can have a cell phone. This 13-year-old little girl is dating and meeting men 30 plus years old on social media. And top it all off, she's connecting with them. And to top it off even better, this system, the third party agency that placed her there, the umbrella, you know, Catholic Charities Community and their umbrella system, third party. She's placed in this home and she's going out at night. She's going out at night and she's having sex with older men. She's having sex with older men. She's being drugged. The foster parent is not calling CUA or DHS, umbrella, third party, never been notified. Hey, guess what? This girl is out of control. I need you to come get her. They're not checking to see if this kid is in her bed at night. They're not checking to see if she's doing homework. Listen, I have the school records. Okay. There's no way in the world if the foster parent was doing their job under that third party system that this kid would have been failing, would have been sex trafficked. Something else I'll tell you. She was being drugged. Okay. She was being drugged. That's why when they found the body, they put her in the morgue for 2 weeks. Cute little girl, cute as a little button. And they described her when she was found deceased as a grown woman in her 20s. That was their description. And this young lady sat in the morgue for 2 weeks while not DHS, not CUA, umbrella system. They weren't looking for her. Her dad walked the streets day and night, night and day, looking for this girl. And guess what happened? They didn't know that was their 13-year-old in the morgue, laying there dead for 2 weeks while they were 2 weeks looking for her. This umbrella system had no clue where she could have been. So this is why I'm saying, you know, not only with reckless internet postings, but the terrorists that are currently roaming the streets, committing acts of violence in your neighborhood that you have to live in, that you have to pay taxes in, that your kids cannot even come outside to play because you have these umbrella system terrorists running around committing acts of violence. And it all stems from reckless internet postings. These umbrellas are very emotional. You're not dealing with a normal person. You're dealing with emotional people who feel like I've just been kicked to the curb. This person who's supposed to be taking care of me, they're taking my money. They're using it on themselves. I look dirty and dingy every time they come around. They see me. I got to wait till the next budget funding comes out so I can get new clean clothes. There's a lot that goes on with this umbrella. There's a lot of money being funded to these programs. And I'll get into that with you as well. But what do you have to say as a human being for what's going on in your neighborhood? When do you say, I'm going to take a stand? I'm going to see something, say something. Not see something, not say something. Because when it affects your family directly, you're going to feel how that other family felt, if not worse. Because trouble comes when you least expect it. You see your neighbor with a gun? What do? You sit back and you be quiet? No. You pick up that telephone. You can call anonymously. It's not making you a snitch. It's keeping you and your family safe because you have the umbrella system that you're dealing with. And you have to make sure you keep your family safe because you'll have that one kid that is not happy with the world. And he'll do everything to destroy everything around him, him or her. And you're that person that wants to keep your family safe. How do you handle things like that? You have to ask yourself that question. Do you see and don't see? No, you see and you say something. You know, we got into snitches get stitches. That's an old folk table that does not even exist. Because by the time the person's looking to give you stitches, they're already in handcuffs and they're on their way down where they belong. If you can get these umbrellas all in one container, you'll see a difference in your neighborhood. But you have to be proactive. You have to participate. You don't have to throw yourself on the front line, because when you're dealing with emotional people and people that are being thrown through this system of umbrellas, you have to be very, very careful, because they're worse than the terrorists. And I hate to say this in this manner, but it's very true. If you look at these terrorists that are committing these heinous crimes at the age of 13, 14, 15, okay, you have to look at this in a different manner. They're worse than the terrorists that knocked down the World Trade Center buildings. Okay? They knocked the buildings down. They made the decision to kill themselves in the interim. Okay, these terrorists, they're cowards. They're running around. They're shooting up neighborhoods. They're killing your sons, your daughters. They're putting out reckless internet postings. So you have to think, where do you come in at and take a stand and say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to say something. I can't emphasize that enough, because people today, when it used to be a village to raise a child, it has become every man in this village is on their own. This is what it has come down to. Until it affects your household, your children. Remember, there's been a year of a pandemic. There's been no school. What happens now when your kid has to get on that bus? Your kid has to walk to school. Your kid has to walk back home from school. Your kid has to take that bus by themselves to return home. There are some kids that are latchkey kids. Their parents depend on them to get home safely. Call me when you get home. I need to know you made it home safely. Of course, because you have the umbrella system that you're working with right now with these reckless internet postings. And you don't want to find yourself a person on momentsthatsurvive.org telling your story of your child who had dreams and aspirations of becoming someone big in the world, that now there's nothing left but an obituary, faded memories, heartache that never ends for the family. The doors are forever closing. It'll be a dead case with no capture of who did this to your child or your family member. So it's time for people to say something and stand up and stop being afraid and take back your streets, your blocks from these bullies. And that way your kids or your generation of family members can come and sit outside without gunshots rilling through your neighborhood. Innocent people are getting killed one by one by one. And that's because no one has nothing to say. And I hope this message reaches someone out there that knows of someone that has committed a heinous crime under this umbrella system. One of these troubled kids, you know, that you can come forward and you can say something. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Ever wanted a skylight? Don't wait for the rain to visit you. Stop that leaky roof today. Untouchable Roofers get it done right the first time. 10% discounts for seniors and all law enforcement. Contact our team of dedicated experts for a free consultation at 267-467-1222 or find us on Instagram at Untouchable Roofers. Servicing Philadelphia and New Jersey surrounding areas.
Looking for a holistic approach to a healthy new lifestyle? Akir CMOS is the vitamin-rich solution you need with 92% of the nutrients our body needs. What does CMOS do? Promotes natural weight loss, helps build body muscle, builds a healthier immune system, helps allergies. Consuming CMOS when you're sick is a win, but consuming when you're healthy is a win-win. Visit AkirCMOS.com today and begin your journey to a healthier lifestyle.
Hey, hey guys, I'm back. Okay, two great commercials, Untouchable Roofers. They do great work. They're in New Jersey. They're in Philadelphia. They're in Camden. They're just about everywhere. Give them a call if you have that leaky roof. Hey, and don't forget about Good Health, Akir CMOS. Good for the bones, good for the digestive system. And drink up, drink up, drink up. It's all about health. Good gut health. Now that we're back to our topics of the day, and that is moments that survive. I'm going to touch back on Elisiana Libby Carter, that 13-year-old that got murdered in Philadelphia, because there were some details that were not shared. That's a little disturbing to me. And I'll touch a little bit on our loved one, King Hill, a.k.a. Miranda, as it's still out there, still missing in my eyes. We'll touch on that a little bit. And we do have updates, but we are keeping them top secret for now until we get confirmation of some things. But Libby Carter, Elisiana, the beautiful 13-year-old that was murdered in Philadelphia, this 32-year-old man that she met on social media when she was given a cell phone by her foster parents, who she was supposed to be in care of when she was ripped from her biological parents due to some substance abuse, but it wasn't any substance abuse that was affecting her life directly, where she was being molested and drugged and at this point now murdered. There are some strong details that were found out in this case that has not been released to the public. I'm taking it maybe they just don't know. The parents did hire a investigative team to handle the case because they wanted answers. And from my knowledge, they got the answers. They got the truth so they could add closure. And hopefully the person that is in custody, they will get justice that will be served in an appropriate manner. Hopefully more so on a federal level, where this person will never be able to see daylight again. There's some missing pieces to the puzzle, because you have a guy who was Prince Walters, and we found the real Prince Walters that said, hey, my cousin, he's using my identity. It's not really me. I would never sleep with a 13-year-old. I have a wife and children. This is unknown to him. So the real Prince Walters, he actually lives in Texas, and he is a law-abiding citizen. Can't say that much for his relative, Christian Duncan, who stole his identity and portrayed to be him and slept with this 13-year-old young lady and possibly sex trafficked her in the interim. There's been some disturbing things that have came to unfold with this story. Finding out that Elisiana Carter Libby was actually set up to do a robbery with this adult man. And this adult man actually is the responsible party for getting her murdered. It was all started through reckless internet postings, because the young man that, and I can't disclose his name, that participated in this robbery and had this 13-year-old do a robbery with him, which he's 30 some odd years old. He actually set her up. He set her up. He basically said, hey, she's the one who actually stole the money. She's the one you need to go find out what she did with it. basically, they caught her in an abandoned home. Mind you, she was under the umbrella of Kua and Associates for protection, which she did not receive. At that point, she was murdered. She was murdered due to reckless internet postings, due to the fact, and I'm going to say this because you're trying to figure out, where did the reckless internet postings come in for her to get murdered? Well, I'll tell you this interesting part of this story is this young man who's currently in custody had a girlfriend that was facilitating, and I'm still trying to figure out why she wasn't arrested, facilitating the robberies, utilizing her car, by the way. Mind you, this has never touched the media as of yet. Her car was being utilized with this 13-year-old and her boyfriend, who's in custody, for rock. He was using her cars for the robberies and having sex with this 13-year-old. Okay? Why she wasn't arrested? I'll tell you why. Because she claims she didn't know anything about what he was doing. He took her car without her knowledge. She filed a police report, which is suspect. But there was one strong detail, and I'll tell you what, thank goodness for investigators on these cases, because the local PD, I hate to say it, they don't have certain access to certain things, such as a strong investigator would have, you know, like government resources, let's say that. Especially if that person works in a sector of top security and they have their investigative skills above, I don't want to degrade anyone, but above the local PD detective status, they have better resources. I'll say that they have better resources. They have better resources. They have better informants. They have everything that is 10,000 bips higher than what the local detective can supply. And they can find out crimes a lot faster than the average detective that works for a local police department. Because they actually dig through holes and they pick through the stories and they rumble through the evidence. So there's a lot of things. But very strikingly, when at the murder scene of Elisiana Carter, they failed to notice a piece of paper. Now, when you're a detective, you gather everything. I don't care if it's bubble gum. You pick it up with a toothpick. You put on a glove. You pick up the gum. Listen, they do DNA with saliva today. Okay? It's very easy to find a criminal if you're looking. If you're looking. So this little piece of paper that was balled up and thrown in the corner had information on it. And what was this piece of paper? It was a copy of a police report. A police report. So now you got a police report. Now you have someone else who was at the murder scene of 13-year-old Elisiana Carter getting murdered, who says, oh no, I wasn't there. That was the girlfriend, by the way. I won't mention her name because hopefully she will be included as a murder suspect in this case. But they have a little mercy on her for now. But sooner than later, it all catches up to you. Just like she slipped up and left her police report at the scene, but it was balled up. Now, a good detective would have gathered everything at the scene and said, aha, you were there. You can't say you weren't. Why would you have this police report with your name on it? Why would it be left behind? Very interesting. So the girlfriend has a police report at another location that was a stash house. Come to find out, it really wasn't a stash house. It was a house that was rented by her boyfriend when she was missing in action. She was arrested for shoplifting, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know that. But she was missing in action because she was locked up herself for shoplifting. The boyfriend now goes out and rents an apartment on his own while she's in jail. So she's disgruntled to find out her boyfriend is sleeping with a 13-year-old. And of course, she's a grown woman. What could a 13-year-old have over me? Why would he be sleeping with a 13-year-old? That's, by the way, assisting him in strong arm robberies. So keep that in mind. But she leaves this piece of paper, which is a police report, copy of a police report, at the scene of the crime. And she's never arrested. And this so-called apartment the boyfriend rented was a stash house. Now, the boyfriend has no money, has no job. He's doing strong arm robberies. He actually uses her bank card that she got with her PPP money, you know, unemployment, her, you know, company money that she had. He takes all of this money, uses all of this money to rent an apartment and furnish it. Furnishes the apartment for him and the 13-year-old. So now the girlfriend eventually gets out of jail for her shoplifting charge. By the way, she was shoplifting at Walmart. So makes you kind of go, I think there's more of something else going on. But this young lady filed a police report that said she had her $300 taken from her. It was cash. She had it on the bed at this so-called house that was rented, aka stash house. And the boyfriend had the home raided. Someone set it up for a raid. Someone said drugs was in there. Usually if they're raiding a house, they have video footage of buyers. They have stunt buyers coming in. They have undercover coming in, posing as junkies. They have informants coming in, mark bills, and they come back out with the product. So there's something that transpired to say, hey, this is a drug house, not a house you live in. So she claims the home was raided. The girlfriend claims the home was raided. Her $300 was taken by local PD, and that $300 was hers and was not supposed to be a part of the drug raid money. Long story short, this young lady actually has health issues. And she kind of spilt the beans to an investigator, by the way, that recorded the conversation. She actually said that she was also a participant in giving this young lady drugs when it was time for her to be with other men. So why she hasn't been arrested yet and why this story hasn't touched the front page of the newspapers yet, it behooves me. But this young lady is still active and on the go, and she's being protected by her parents because they're claiming she had no knowledge of nothing. She's cooperated. She doesn't want to be involved. There's a 13-year-old girl that was murdered, and you will be involved at some capacity. Let's just say that. And actually, she didn't like Elysiana Carter because of internet postings. She was posting up her boyfriend, this girl's boyfriend. Libby was posting up the guy with her, like, hey, this is my boyfriend. And they got into it on social media. So 9 out of 10 times, this girlfriend knew the murderer. She actually probably set it up, positively sure. She put herself at the scene of the crime by leaving her evidence and couldn't answer, oh, well, I don't know. He had my car. Maybe my boyfriend took the paper and threw it in the house. And, you know, the whole murder went down and the paper got left behind. That was her story. That's her story. She's probably going to stick to it. But we'll follow up on that story on our next show to give you an update with Elysiana Carter, Little Libby, I call her. And we'll touch a little bit on King Hill. And my theory is King Hill has been swapped by his biological father. And there may be some participants in that situation, because I could tell you what has been found out thus far. His biological grandmother on his father's side has been on the move, you know, changing names, changing addresses, setting up locations that don't have an actual house on it, but just moving around a little bit too much. So they may have declared him deceased based off of non-cooperation, because sometimes when you don't cooperate, you can be found guilty of anything. If you refuse to cooperate in a missing child situation, you will be charged with some form of a crime. And it may even be murder if you don't have an answer for where this child went. The biological father is alive and kicking. In some situations, like I said, the child may be very well alive and be with his biological father. So there are some things, some missing pieces to this puzzle that we have yet to figure out, but there are some things that we're not allowed to disclose due to this case still being under investigation by Tiana Parks' attorney's investigator, who is top notch, and they will get to the bottom of what happened to King Hill. May it be Puerto Rico, it may be Florida, it may be Texas, it may be Boston, Massachusetts, it may be Pennsylvania. Who knows? There's nobody recovered. And with nobody recovered, we still have to leave that window open of he may be alive. A lot of times the biological dads come back and kidnap these kids. No one has seen his face. Oh, of course I have, but no one else has seen his face. Okay. No one knows what he actually looks like. So there's some missing pieces to this puzzle. So before someone passes judgment and says, guilty, 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 keep in mind her trial has been postponed. Tiana Parks' trial has been postponed. They are seeking new evidence, new clues. They're actively looking for King Hill. And I can say this to the grandparents or the family members of King Hill, King Mirandez, King Carabello, King Velez, King Hernandez, King Ramos, whoever is involved in this, just know that you will be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law if this baby is not returned safely back to Philadelphia, okay? Because we're actively, and I say we, me, us, we're actively on your heels, and the truth will be found out what truly happened to King Hill. Okay, so keep those names in your Rolodex, because as it was disclosed, his biological dad is Hispanic. Hispanics has different names. You know, they have different attributes. So keep that in mind. There's a lot of names he may be under. So we will float his picture out until he is found and is returned to his mom or to whoever else would be in charge of having custody of him. So I'd like to thank all my listeners for listening today. Seems like we reached the 1 million mark as of today. Thank you, listeners. I look forward to you coming back next week. Same bat place, same bat time. Tommy Torres, and I'm out.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.